Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me. Many people have heard those words from Jesus. They're actually to his church, he says that. That Jesus is at the door, waiting to come in and have dinner with you. He did that at Zacchaeus' house. He did that at Matthew's house. He did that at Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' house. He did that at Simon the Pharisee's house. What a Thanksgiving it would be this year if we would just open the door and invite Jesus in for lunch with us. That'd be all right, wouldn't it? So if you knew Jesus was coming for lunch, what would you serve? Can you think of some things you wouldn't serve? But specifically, I wonder, what drinks would you have if Jesus was there for lunch? Probably not tepid tea and coffee. Most of what we drink is best if it's what? If it's hot or cold. Who wants a lukewarm drink? In fact, if coffee's been sitting around long enough that it just kind of is medium, I believe the word is meh. That's reason enough not to drink it, isn't it? Nobody wants coffee like that. You just throw it out. You know what? That's what the 3:16 that we're looking at today deals with. It is Jesus' message to the church in the city of Laodicea, where he says, Revelation chapter 3, now if you've got your Bibles, open up to that if you would. It's on page 966 in the Pew Bibles. Revelation 3, we'll begin in verse 15. Jesus says to the church of Laodicea, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. First three chapters of Revelation often get neglected. They contain messages to Christians in seven different churches in what is modern Turkey. It was known then as Asia Minor. These are the seven churches of Asia Minor: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. These are real places. They are in a real part of history. There were real people there who were Christ followers during the first century AD, and Jesus gave a special message to people in each of these cities in the churches there. Words of compliments, encouragements, and warnings for people who were encountering increasing pressure as the Roman government became less and less friendly inclined toward the church. Once Christianity ceased to be viewed by Rome as just another sect of Judaism, Christians were pressured to worship the emperor. We're going to look at the seventh church in that list today. In the short time that I planned to have left, Laodicea. There isn't one word of compliment to the church there. Instead, there's a description by Jesus that resonates with a lot of people because it seems to represent very well what Jesus might say to the church of 2019 in cities like Rockford, Illinois. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Lukewarm. Not cold like a refreshing lemonade on a sweltering hot summer day. Not hot like a hot chocolate on a chilly winter night in northern Illinois. Just lukewarm. I want to show you a real quick scene from a movie. We showed a scene from this movie just a few weeks back, but boy, this fit just perfectly. It's the movie War Room. A lot of you will remember this clip. We know from archaeology that the water supply to the city of Laodicea was piped from two different sources, Hierapolis to the north, 6 miles, and Colossae, which was 10 miles to the southeast. Hierapolis to this day still has hot springs. It was hot water that would be piped in, and it started out hot. And the water of Colossae came from freshwater underground springs. They both reached Laodicea, and by the time they did, they were just like the water that you would find sitting in a summer hose after a week. Blech. And on top of the temperature issues, as that water made its way to Laodicea, it picked up a lot of minerals that also gave it an interesting taste. Yuck! Jesus said there is something about the Christians of Laodicea that made them like a mouthful of grossness, the kind that you spew out all over the place. Now, I've read a lot of ideas about what it means to say that someone is lukewarm in their faith, and I really wrestled with, well, what exactly does that mean? Here's what I think explains it best, looking at this passage that we're considering this morning. And that is that the Christ followers of Laodicea had become a reflection of their culture rather than being the shapers of their culture. Look at verse 17. Jesus says, "For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked." Had you asked a citizen of Laodicea, they probably would have said these kinds of things about themselves. The city had become, in its day, a banking center. A lot of money went through Laodicea. They were proud of their wealth. The ruins of Laodicea show that it had really significant structures, including a huge stadium the length of 3 football fields, even though it wasn't a very big city. Major earthquake damaged Laodicea in the year AD 60, and when the Roman government offered relief funds to help rebuild the damage, Laodicea said, "No thanks, we got this, we'll take care of it." They were proud. Laodicea had a medical school known for, among other things, an eye medicine that they produced, and there was a significant textile industry that came through this city. A special black wool from a particular breed of sheep, now gone. Laodicea was famous for this black wool that came out of there. Those were the boasts of Laodicea, but when it came to the real spiritual condition of the Christians there, everything that Laodicea had confidence in outwardly was where the church was lacking spiritually. You say, "I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing," not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. They needed from Jesus what only Jesus could give them, true wealth, a white robe of righteousness, healing for their eyes. "I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing." Peace and prosperity are a dangerous position to be in. Did you know that? When a city, a nation is doing well, it's easy for people to feel less dependent on God for anything. Hey, if you've got everything, who needs God? Every time I watch documentaries about our nation during the times we've been at war, one of the features that really jumps out at me is that the times the United States has faced the greatest struggles have also been the times that we as a nation were most openly seeking and were most openly acknowledging our need for God's help. Presidents and Congress called on people to pray, to entreat the Lord's help, and then thank Him when He did help. But when a nation prospers, when a nation is doing great, beware. God knew Israel would struggle with this. He took them into the promised land. He provided for them in ways they couldn't have dreamed of. And as they entered into that life, He told them, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10, You shall eat and be full. You shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Archaeology indicates that the Christian people of Laodicea were placed in this kind of a struggle. They had enjoyed peace and prosperity, but the political climate was changing under the Emperor Domitian. So would they compromise their faith and continue to enjoy the good things that they had going on in their city? Or would they refuse to acknowledge the emperor as a god and face the consequences? What we're reading today indicates, at least as it was written, that they were compromising. The Christ followers of Laodicea had become a reflection of their culture, rather than being the shapers of their culture. Brothers and sisters, that wasn't what Jesus had called them to be. You hear the warning in that, don't you, church? In so many ways, the church of our time struggles with this very thing. We want to be relevant. We want the world to see that the truth of the gospel is as important and as needed as it ever was. Amen? While at the same time demonstrating that we live in this world, but we are not of this world. Like Paul, we want to become all things to all people so that by all means we might win some. But we don't want to be conformed to the image of this world while we're being transformed by the Spirit of God who lives inside of us. So let's learn from Laodicea not to be lukewarm. Not to compromise, not to become a reflection of the culture that's around us, but rather to become the shapers of our culture. Look again at what Jesus warned and ask yourself this morning. Am I arrogant? Am I self-sufficient, I think, so that I don't need God's help? Are my works showing that I'm lukewarm instead of hot or cold? While I have usually read the warnings to Laodicea as Jesus' way of saying, I have had it with you, I want you to notice something with me about the message that he says to this stumbling church as you keep reading on in verse 19. He says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This very same Jesus who sends this harsh rebuke, this very strong message to the people of Laodicea, to the church, his church in that city, is the one, like the Son of Man in Revelation chapter 1, who John tries to describe as he looks upon this vision. His appearance escapes adequate words. He's so awesome, so overpowering, in fact, that John says, out of terror, he fell down and became like a dead man. And then with gentleness and tenderness, the Lord placed his hand on John, and he said, fear not. You want something to be thankful for this Thanksgiving? Be thankful that the Lord wants to hang around. like someone who has arrived outside of your front door to be welcomed in for dinner. For all of his strong words directed at an erring church of Laodicea, this is how Jesus pictures himself standing right at the door, asking in. You want something to be thankful for this Thanksgiving? Those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. You know, if Jesus didn't care about the Christians of Laodicea, he wouldn't have bothered sending them this message. And if he didn't care about you, you wouldn't be hearing from him today either. Whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He teaches. He corrects and brings along. Whenever we're rebuked, whenever we're disciplined, we have a choice to make. Does it harden us? Or do we allow it to enter into our thinking, our minds, and our hearts, and make a change? That's a choice that I think we're faced with today when we look at words like those of Revelation 3:16. Will we listen to a loving correction from the Lord, or will we allow it to harden us? I like the picture of Jesus standing at the door and saying, "Look, I'm here at the door knocking. Whoever opens up, I'll come in to him, and I'll eat with him, he with me." Maybe today you're hearing what God has to say and going, I've always kind of thought myself as this warm person, and that was a good thing. But right now I need to consider that the Lord wants me to be something different, to be zealous. In fact, the word that we use, zesty, comes from the word here that Jesus wants his people to be hot. We need to be zesty and zealous. That's what he's called us to be. I want you to please stand with me. We're going to prepare for a song today, and that's going to be just kind of giving us a moment to reflect on the things that we've looked at in God's Word. And I just want you, where you're at today, to listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. If you have an ear to hear, listen to what he says. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you do love us enough to say even the difficult things that sometimes we need to listen to. Father, I pray that you'll help us as we, though separated by time and distance, we stand alongside brothers and sisters of the past who in their struggles needed you to address them and bring them along. And right now, Father, that's us in different ways. We want to be a church, a body of believers in this city who are shaping the world around us rather than just conforming to the way it is. So I pray today that you'll stir up inside of us because of our thankfulness to you, God, because of what you have accomplished and done for us, that you'll stir up inside of us a new zeal, a new desire to be outstanding and different in the culture where we live. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.